And all God's people said, and all God's people shouted. Oh, wow, what a powerful song. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Randy. Oh, man, what a powerful piece. I love when a song speaks the very truth of God's presence in our lives and what he's doing in our lives, and that piece of speaking about the power that we've set free from the grave, and just that's the power that lives within us through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what a privilege, what a joy to be together in God's house. Good to be in God's house. Amen. And welcome to all who are here. Welcome to our guests. Welcome to Chris and Aubrey all the way from Denver. Good to have you back. This is still your home church. You know that, right? Okay. Just making sure. So it's just a joy to be together in God's house. And, you know, as you were singing that song, my mind went to the people of China right now and all that's happening there. There's been so much crisis going on. It's been happening. The house churches are being closed. People are being watched. It's just a very, very serious time. And now this, what's been happening in Hong Kong, and people fearing what is going to be the loss of freedom and what's coming, and now we have this illness, this virus, and God's arm is not too short. And so let's lift up our prayers. Let's lift up our prayers for what God is doing, not only here in our lives, but around the world, as he's reaching to reach people and to Jesus be lifted up and all drawn to him. That's our prayer. Let's pray together as we open God's word today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this great privilege to be together in the name of Jesus. What a joy to be in your house and to lift up our voices in praise and prayer and now to open the word of God. And so, Lord, as we open this word, we pray that indeed we might see Jesus and we might hear his word to us this day, today, and might say yes and find that indeed he is our life. We pray it in your name, Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say it this way. Jesus came out of the desert like a shot out of a cannon. He came out of the desert like a shot out of a cannon. He came out of the desert like the east wind barreling down the gorge. Okay, does that one work? Watch out, Troutdale, okay? Jesus came out of the desert like he came out of the desert as a strong man ready to run the race. Let's look and let's catch the story as we go to Luke chapter 4. We're picking up right at the end where Pastor Greg left off last Sabbath, there with Jesus there in the desert facing the enemy, the devil himself, and coming out victorious. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Bang! And a report about him went through the whole surrounding country, and he taught in the synagogues, and he was being glorified by all. Already the word being spoken, already the healings are happening, and the word started to spread. It was like wildfire there through Galilee that God had raised up a prophet. Someone knew. There hadn't been a prophet since Malachi. We're talking 450 years plus. I mean, there's something is happening. God is on the move. We might say it, you know, Aslan's on the march. It was happening. So I'm going to ask the question, and the question is this. What was the source of Jesus' power? What was the source of this power that people saw when they saw Jesus who came out of that desert like a strong man to run a race? You know, power always has a source. I was thinking about power and the way I've, you know, just over my, I thought, oh, I remember back to when I was a kid and we used to go to Grandma's house. She had a TV. We didn't. I mean, at the mom, all she did was read to us all the time, you know. That was okay. Actually, it was wonderful. But here we were. We go to Grandma's house for about 2 weeks every summer, and she had a TV, and so, of course, it was, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle, all these fun cartoons back in the day. But there was one that spoke about power. And, of course, when you're a kid, you're always thinking about who's big and who's strong. And there was this story about this guy. Have you ever heard of Popeye the Sailor Man? Okay, right? And so Popeye the Sailor Man, and there was this big Brutus kind of guy, Bluto, and he was like, oh, you know, and he was always being a bully and all. But there was a source of power that Popeye had, which was what? No. Not just spinach. Canned spinach, okay. Don't you love canned spinach, huh? Canned spinach, you know? That was the source of his power, the canned spinach. Now, back to the question of the day. What was the source of Jesus' power? Yes. Yes, let's go. Let's go to Luke 3. We're going to step back to where we were last Sabbath. Go to Luke 3. Now, when all the people were baptized, so here's Jesus who comes to the river. They're all being drawn there to the Jordan, and there is one that God has raised up, and he's the one who would go before the Messiah, the one we call John the Baptist. They were, when the people were being baptized, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. So catch this first. First of all, we ask the source of Jesus' power. It's rooted in him responding to the call of God in his life and saying yes. And that yes included going to the river. It included going yes to the river and to be baptized. And let me just encourage you. If you've heard that call and you kept putting it off, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, even my age, whatever. I mean, this is where it starts. And he's praying and the heavens open, and now we're going to see the source of his power. Verse 22, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. Jesus received Holy Spirit anointing, meaning presence of God in his life. In fact, John talks about this in the book of John. John, in the Gospel of John, he speaks and says, when I saw the Spirit come, and the Spirit, the one who called me told me, the one that the Holy Spirit comes on and remains. And he says, I saw the Spirit come on him and remain on him. It was like, just not like a little, like a magic wand, like, ding, you little Holy Spirit. No, this is Holy Spirit who comes upon and remains upon him. And a voice came from heaven that said, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. You notice this address. This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. And Jesus heard this with his own ears. He received Holy Spirit anointing and presence of God in his life as he had responded to the call being led by his Father and by the Spirit to go to the river. And at that point, to receive that gift of Spirit in his life, and that he heard this, his Father's confirmation of his identity. This is powerful. This is the powerful thing. When we say, what's the source of his power? Here it is. Here's Jesus, who had lived a good life, who had been blessing his mom, all the people who knew him in Nazareth. He was a blessing in that place. But here comes the moment where the power of God falls on this Jesus. And as he comes out of that water and he hears this, he receives this response, this power. And the question that I want to raise, first question I asked was, what was the source of his power? The next question I want to ask is this: can you and I be plugged into this same source of power? Yes. Can our lives be there? And of course, we say yes. And of course, then my next question, you know, is going to be, give me a text. Give me a text. Tell me where. Let's try Romans 8. Let's try Romans 8. Look at this verse, Romans 8 and 14. Look at these words. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, this, think Jesus being led to the Jordan, being led there led to the river to be baptized. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and ladies, daughters. Don't ever let that be just one of us, right? Okay? Sons of God, daughters of God. Here it goes. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. You talk about a living reality that suddenly it goes from, it's not just a formal, you know, our dear Father which art in, no, here it is. And I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying there's something that has moved from a formal kind of address to this Daddy, Father, Abba, Father, that we ourselves being led the Spirit and to hear and to know. Yes, adoption, because we're part of the race through our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, who, you know, emancipated us all from, you know, we're not going to be, no, we emancipated ourselves from him, but he's the one who came looking still and loves us still and is the one that wants to bring us back into the family. And we're there. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we will someday be children of God. Amen? No. Well, yes, too, but yes, but that we are present tense. We are present tense children of God now. And by the way, it goes on to say, the text goes on to say, and we are heirs with him. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Whew. Now, so we say, okay, we're asked the question, what was the source of Jesus' power? If he came out of the desert like a shot out of a cannon, boom, and Galilee was like, what just hit us? You know, if that's the case, what's the source of that power? I'm going to say it this way. These are, number one, the anointing, leading anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the confirmation of our identity of who God calls us and says, this is who you are. But there's a third, you know those plugs at home that have three prongs? Okay, I know this doesn't work, David, but here it is. But we're going to call it a three-prong source, okay? We're going to go that way. What's the third one? The third one, let's go to Matthew. Well, let's say it this way. The third one is, the third prong is Jesus' victory over the tempter. When he came out of the desert, he didn't come out of the desert going, wow, whew, I got by the skin of my teeth there. No, he came out victorious. He came out strong. He came out, let's look at it. The tempter came and said to him, if, I've circled the word if in my Bible. That if is in response to what word that Jesus had heard back in chapter 3? You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he goes out into this desert where he just hears the coyotes at night and the whatever he heard in the desert. But he's out. But now he hears a voice. The last voice he heard was, you are my beloved son. The next voice he hears is, if. Oh, wow. If you are the Son of God, command after 40 days and the hunger, what it means to go 40 days without eating. I have no idea. I went 3 days once, and I was like, what? You know, it's just like, no. 40 days. And he says, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Meet your need. You can do this. Solve this in your way. And what does Jesus respond? He answered, it is written. How many times? It is written. Does Jesus respond to the tempter saying, it is written? Oh, it's already up there. Three times. Every temptation, it is written. It is written. It is written. What does that tell us? Jesus' victory over the devil? Jesus' life was rooted in a confidence and a trust in the Word of God that was unshakable. There was an unshakable trust and confidence in the Word of God. I love it. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You and I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's saying, I'm going to live by the word that you're saying if to. The word I just heard was, you are my beloved son. I'm living by that. Amen. Whew. Three things, the source of his power, the source of the power with which Jesus comes out of the desert. He's led by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit. He has received confirmation of his identity from the Father, and he is going to live by, he's staking his life on it. He is staking his life on the Word of God. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He came out of that desert a strong man, ready to run the race. Now, he goes to the synagogues thereabout. We had read that. He'd gone and he starts to connect. And then came the day that he heads home. Interesting moment, isn't it? Heads home to Nazareth. He's going to go there. You know, it's kind of like you can see the Nazareth Gazette, kind of like local boy makes good, you know. Local boy is coming home, and we're going to all, you know, God's all turn out, and we greet him. So he goes home. Let's pick up the story. Verse 16, back in chapter 4. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And my response? But of course. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath. But of course. What does John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Everything that was made through Him. And at the end of the sixth day, He said, He rested on the Sabbath. Of course. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He went and He worshiped on that day. There He was. He went there to that picture of, we miss this. Creation week comes in the week and says, God finished all His work and He rested. Redemption week, starting with Palm Sunday. Redemption week, on the cross, it is finished. Finished all of His work, rested. Finished, it is finished, rested. Boom, boom. And you go, whoa, He rested. And this Jesus goes and, as was His custom, went there to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, it's interesting when we think about Jesus and all of us Jesus people. Yes? Anybody would? Okay, I was a Jesus people at one time. Okay, so I'm old enough to have been one of those guys. But you know, the followers, the Christ followers that we are called to be. And here we are, and we're part of a church that has said, yes, we're going to continue to follow Jesus. We're going to even follow Him in this. We're going to follow Him in His custom. And it's interesting, you go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 14. Look at Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance. This is the just before the coming of Jesus. The church, just before the coming of Christ, is a call for the endurance. By the way, endurance means it's not going to be easy. It's a hard time. There's the challenges that are there. Someone shared with me this week that a child in this congregation shared that they weren't sure about what it was going to be like if they could really make it through the end times. They had heard some stories about things being difficult and Jesus saying a time of trouble like it's never been and all of that. And I heard that. That was actually on Wednesday night that was shared with me. And I had a dream that night. And this is out of the ordinary for me because I don't know. I just don't remember dreams. But I remember this one. And it woke me up even, but it was a dream. And I was out walking in the woods and kind of in the wilderness. And all at once, I saw it was a wild animal and another one. There were four wild animals. And there was a lion and there was a bear. Anybody catching what I'm going here? A lion, a bear, and then there was a cougar and a coyote. Okay, those were my four. It came close, but that cougar, and I saw the cougar notice me, and I went and I hid behind, but unfortunately the bush had all the leaves had fallen off. So I was hiding behind the bush with the leaves, and the cougar's looking right, and he started to move toward me, and then all at once the bear rushed over and they started mixing it up. And I woke up. And it suddenly hit me. I thought, we don't have to be afraid. Amen. I actually woke up feeling really good. I thought, I don't have to be afraid. I actually felt some fear in my dream. And I woke up, no, I'm not gonna live my life fearing that future. Amen. No, we're the people of hope. Yes. You know, we're the ones that, you know, and that doesn't mean there won't be loss. Yes. And loss of life. But what it does mean is whether I live or I die, whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. Yes. And we can live our lives not in that place of fear, but in that place of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in that place of hope. Amen. Yes. And so the call for the endurance of the saints. Whew. I've been reading, oh boy, here it is, Religious Liberty Sabbath. And I've been reading, man, oh man, I tell you, what's happening in our world and what's happening to believers around the world. Loss of life of believers this very week will come to the name of a man I want to speak out loud in this church in just a few minutes. But endurance of the saints indeed. And what is the church just before Jesus doing? They keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. This is the ESV, which has taken one possible reading of that Greek. It's an interesting Greek construction. The faith of Jesus could be faith in, but faith of is the way it's the genitive there. So it's like, eh. So, but the faith of Jesus being one Lord, one baptism, it would be His baptism, one faith, His faith, the faith of Jesus, one faith, one baptism, all of this centered in what He has done in order to bring salvation for us. That's the Jesus we're opening the Word of God to here. But let's keep going. Let's continue on. Back to the text. Back to Luke. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day in his hometown. Everybody's excited. Hey, remember, there's all this. And by the way, they weren't calling him Jesus. It was like, hey, Yeshua's in town. The Aramaic is what was working, not the Greek there. So Yeshua, it's the Joshua word, the Joshua name. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is given to him. He unrolls the scroll and found the place where it was written. And here we go. He is going to, in this moment, declare his mission. And look at the first words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We have seen Spirit at the baptism. We see that after the baptism, Luke says, after the baptism, that he was full of the Spirit, and then he comes back in the power of the Spirit, and then he stands up and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The word anoint is what word back to the Hebrew? Meshach, which goes to Messiah, which is the word in English? Christ. I've written the word Christ and Messiah in my Bible next to the word anointed. Jesus is announcing it right from the get-go. And he goes, he's anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord, to proclaim good news to the poor. By the way, the original in Isaiah 61 is being written to the people who are still in captivity, taken away in Babylonian captivity. And then, of course, the Medes of the Persians take out the Babylonians. They're still in captivity. And so these are people going, oh, and he goes, I got good news for you. And Jesus takes this passage and goes, that type was pointing to me, the antitype. That's what was going on here. This, I'm the true fulfillment of this. You search the scriptures, you think of eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Right? John 5:39. All of this is pointing to Jesus. And he takes the word and he declares it. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives. And yes, this would mean liberty to be able to go home to Jerusalem again, but it also is going to speak to the reality of liberty to have every chain in our lives broken. Every chain. Every chain. Please don't settle and go, I'm just going to live like this and I'm going to stay my best and try to stay out, but I'm just going to kind of manage this thing. No. Let him break the chain. Let's break this. Let him do it. I mean, he's proclaiming liberty and recovering of sight to the blind. He goes, you can't even see. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And as Jesus preached and as he spoke these words, he was speaking to the people whether they were oppressed through the Roman occupation, whether they were oppressed through the attitudes of the Jewish men towards Jewish women. Yeah, I said that. I needed to say that. You know why? Because archaeologists found actually a benediction that was being used at the end of synagogue services. All the synagogues of Judea had the same benediction that they all shared together. And at the end, part of the benediction was, Lord, I thank you that you did not make me a Gentile sinner or a woman. How contrary is that to Genesis chapter 1 and 2? God said, let us make man in our image, male and female. God's people had missed this thing. But here comes Jesus, who is going to come, and he says, I'm going to set at liberty. Look at all the women who followed Jesus. They knew they were valued, equally valued with their brothers. By the way, isn't it interesting, in Acts chapter 1, guess what happened in Acts 1? And they're there praying together. This is just before the Holy Spirit falls on day of Pentecost. Guess what happens? It actually says the men and women were in the upper room together and they were praying together. What? No. In the synagogue, there was a screen. Women sat behind the screen. Men sat on this side. So these pieces of God at work in terms of bringing people to his purpose and his original purpose through Jesus is part of this picture. Let's keep going. Look at the next verses here. I love this. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, he says. And the year of the Lord's favor means jubilee. What is jubilee? Every 70th year, all the debts forgiven, all the slaves set free. Wow. Jesus reads this verse. All debts forgiven, all the slaves set free. He rolls up the scroll, hand it back to the attendant. You could have heard a pin drop on that stone floor. And he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Get ready, here it comes. Verse 21. And he began to say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What? Today? You're reading a 700-year-old prophecy that we've all read about and we've known since we were little boys and girls. You're saying that today it's fulfilled? Yeah. The word today makes a difference. You use the word today. When I was a kid, I remember my mom would come by and she'd go, "Looks like the grass needs mowing." That was one of my chores. Whatever age it was, I was probably about 9 or 10 when I started mowing the lawn. She said, "Looks like grass needs mowing." I go, "Okay, yep, I'll take care of it." Which being interpreted means, when I feel like I should mow the lawn, I'll go do this, okay? That could be next week or 2 weeks from now, whatever. My mom, who read me many, many books, could also read me like a book. And she would respond and say, "I didn't mean next year, I didn't mean next week, I mean today." Oh, the word today changes things. The word today, when Jesus said today, bang, today, he goes, "This is the moment, this is good." He says, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing." And what does that mean? What does that mean? It means, look at what times Jesus used the word today. "I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise." Whew. I mean, whoa. "I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Wow. The good news is the good news today. It's not just a prophecy for another 700 years. It's today. It's meant to be heard now. "I'll break the sins, the chains of sin in your life today. I will heal your diseases today. I will set you free from oppression." There can be external oppression, and there's the internal oppression of those memories and those thoughts and those generational curses and all the things in our lives. "I'm breaking all that stuff. I'm setting you free from it," he says. Jubilee. You know what I love about this? Jesus is our Jubilee. Amen. Up here we have a title that says Jesus the Mediator. I have another title, Jesus our Jubilee. He is our Jubilee. And in Jesus, all of this that he's promising is ours today. And of course the people heard him say it and they went, "Amen" and "Hallelujah." Yes? Let's look at the next verse. We're going to go quickly here. Let's go. They all spoke well. They're gracious words. But then someone said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Wink, wink. This is a put-down statement right here. "Isn't that Joseph's son?" Wink, wink. We know it's not Joseph's son. In fact, we're not sure who this boy's daddy is. That's what they're saying. This pops up again and again through the Gospels. They go after his origins. No wonder. But remember, he came out of the desert knowing his identity. His own father said it. "You are." Wow. Let's keep going. And he says to them, "Doubtless you'll quote me the proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Well, we heard you did it at Capernaum, those healings. Do it in your hometown here too, huh?" Keep going. He said, truly. Boom. Whenever Jesus does the truly, and sometimes he does truly, anytime he goes the truly at the start of a sentence, truly or truly, you know he means like mark this one down. No prophet's acceptable in his own town. No. I know. I get this. I know what's going on here. "But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. Heavens were shut up for 3 years, 6 months. Great famine came over the land. Elijah was sent to none of them." He goes to Zarephath, a widow, to a woman who in the land of... She's a Gentile. Elijah doesn't go to any of the remnant chosen people. He goes to a Gentile. Let's keep going, Jesus. "And there were many lepers, time of prophet Elisha. And none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Not just a foreigner, not just a Gentile, but the commander. He's an enemy soldier. What? All you people of God who hate those Romans that are occupying your land. When he laid that one down, what did the people do? 28. When they heard these things, all the synagogue was filled with questions. Boy, he crossed the line. And they went, okay, let's say it as it was. They went lethal that Sabbath. They went lethal. Huh, you're going to come here and do this, hometown boy? You think so? Really? They rose up, they drove him out of town, they brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built to throw him down the cliff. And it actually said in the Mishnah, when you're going to stone someone to death, throw them down a cliff and then drop the rocks on them. This is what the plan was. And it happened as a mob action in an instant of anger and wrath. Boom! I mean, you think about this. The shadow of the cross fell early on the ministry of Jesus. The shadow of the cross on his inaugural message. Boom! Shadow of the cross is over him. Wow. And I look at this and I go, isn't this the way it's always been? Right from Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Here's Cain. He comes and brings his best fruits. Abel goes and brings a lamb from the flock. And there is anger. That no, and in fact, that anger leads to the first murder. You think about this on Religious Liberty Sabbath. I want to read the name of this man. A couple weeks ago in Nigeria, he was abducted in front of his house. Pastor Lawan Andimi, A-N-D-I-M-I. And you can go watch his video that he gave where he praises God even as he's being told, with an ISIS flag beside him, as he's being told to ask for ransom money. And yesterday morning, I saw that Pastor Lawan Andimi died the same way that the Apostle Paul and James, the brother of John, died. This very week. So we know that this thing is real. In the enmity of the serpent for God's people, it rages. And were we left alone for a moment, we'd all be gone. This man in his testimony praised God and he laid down his life for his faith in Jesus, refused to deny his Lord. I said that the cross, the shadow of the cross, was cast early in Jesus' ministry. Look at these words, Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our trespasses. There was another one whose life was laid down, raised for our justification, just as if we've never sinned. Therefore, get ready for the today words here. Therefore, since we have been just as if we'd never sinned through faith in Jesus, we have today peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the today reality you and I get to live in the middle of this world. And we go to this verse 5, verse 2. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And yeah, so even we rejoice in our sufferings. It goes on to say, our suffering produces character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. God pours his Holy Spirit into our lives, and the love of God through the Spirit that he gives us. This is the picture. This is the today reality that you and I are being invited to live in Christ Jesus. Amen. We aren't just going to church today. We're living out the reality of the universe with the Creator, of the one who gave us everything. And we're going to end with Hebrews 12:24 right up here on the, actually it's on our banner. But you have come to Jesus. Remember, there's the blood of Abel that got shed, but there's something better than the blood of Abel. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks the better word. Amen. Anybody want to say yes to the better word today? Amen, amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, lift our voices as we sing this song of praise to him. From yesterday, day 24, page 95. Get under the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus. His atoning blood is altogether powerful, eternally effectual. It alone has the power to cleanse the defiled conscience. The blood of Christ is my basis for entry into the presence of the King. I come boldly now to the throne of grace because I enter by His blood through the veil of His flesh. I am welcomed in the highest courts of glory because of Christ's shed blood. Amen. Lord God, we're amazed. We're amazed at Your great love for us. At Your mercy that You would come after us. You would seek for us like the 99 or the one that was lost. You've come to bring all of us, all 100 of us, home to You. And we're saying yes to You today. We say yes, and Lord, we're praying that as we say yes to You, that the same power that You poured out on Your only begotten Son, that You would pour it on us, Your sons and daughters. Through the power of the Spirit, the identity that You have declared over us, and our saying yes to living by Your word. May we know the life that You pour, the power that You pour into us. May Jesus be exalted in our lives and all drawn to Him. If this is your prayer this day, just lift your hand to Jesus. Say, Jesus, count me in. I'm saying yes to You. I love You. Thank You for Your amazing grace. In the name of Christ and all God's people said, amen. Amen.